All right. So what we're going to do, though, we're just going to teach a little fragment of the process of converting something into an MP3 file, which is the format that is our default format on the radio project. It's and show everybody how to do that in the event that they don't. We'll do it very quickly. You can see the whole process of, you know, say taking something. In this case, we're going to take something from an audio CD. We're going to put it through the program Cool Edit, which is an excellent PC digital editing program. And just to turn, we're going to go through the process called digitizing, which means basically to put it into the computer, saving it as an MP3 file so it's in the format so that it can be uploaded onto the internet. So that's what we're going to do for the right now. It looks like we're on the net. Okay. Now, the first of everybody, if everybody could get up really close, because this projector thing is not working. So, yeah. Yes, you can do this. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now. All right. Yeah, we're putting it on all these monitors. Okay. Take that PSA. So you know the IBOC PSA that was being passed around. Did anybody get so those? Well, okay, right now this isn't an audio CD format, so you could take this into your CD player at your station and play it, but now we're going to upload it onto the internet. You can take any sort of audio source and turn it into an MP3 file. There's no CD player on it? Yeah, I can't believe. How does she load her software? Okay, here, there's audio on the mini disc there. We'll just do it as a test. Reem has a laptop with no CD-ROM in it? That's crazy. Yes. Okay. Rupert's. Yeah, I would strongly, because we need to get it into that, can you get it into that computer? If not, we can just take it from the mini disk. Okay, every computer has something called a sound card. And the sound card is what is used to convert digital sound into analog sound and vice versa. It's an interface for that. And it has connectors, usually 1/8-inch mini plugs. Some fancier ones have RCA plugs or other things. So when you go out and record something or you have something, you've got a music CD, you've got your mini disc, your cassette tape, whatever format you use to go capture your sound. Now what you want to do is you want to convert it into digital sound. And for the sake of this discussion, a DAT is analog sound. Okay. So because when I say digital sound, I mean data is what I really mean. It's data. Right. Okay. So in other words, for the sake of this argument, anything that you're going to go out and take there and put in through the sound card is your analog source, and we're going to digitize it. That's the term for that. Okay, the analog source can be anything. In this particular case, we're using...
If you don't want to hear that sound on your radio dial, call your member of Congress and ask them to oppose a forced conversion to digital audio broadcasting. Even worse, the big broadcasters are demanding, after a few years, that regular broadcasts will be prohibited. And this is all your radio will hear. Yes, in the land of the free, you will be required to replace every single one of the half a billion radios we now own. Imagine the landfills overflowing with radios. Imagine the tiny college radio station that can't afford the $30,000 for the new type of transmitter they want you to use.
Okay, so that's why I said this is a little bit confusing, but for the sake of this discussion, the CD that's sitting in that computer tray is analog sound, okay? That's right. Exactly. Well, I don't know how to put it that way, but what I'm saying is it's not data. It's not data. So it doesn't matter if you're using a CD, a cassette tape, a DAT, a mini disc, any of those formats. Yeah, a microphone. For this sake, because we're taking this and we're going to convert it into data bits on the computer's hard drive through the use of the sound card and the digital editing program. Okay, that's what we're doing. The process is the same as making a dub. Really, you're making a dub. The computer now is your tape recorder that you're dubbing onto, okay, and whatever you have is your playback source. That's really all you're doing is you're making a dub into another format that's able to be manipulated in a digital editing program. And I'm waiting for them to bring up the... Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, I don't know what's happened now. Everything has disappeared. Yeah, I see that, but you know. We'll get that. Yes, we strongly suggest that you always digitize at 44.1. 44.1. Yeah. Or 44, but it depends how the program expresses it. 44.1 it sometimes is expressed as megahertz, I think. Yeah. Yeah, that's a default. That's a default thing, but that's the choice you want to make. Yeah. And a sampling rate of 44 as well. Yeah. While they're sitting up, let me just talk a little bit about what the AINFOLS Radio Project is. And how it got started. The idea for, you know, any of you in community radio, you know that one of the most expensive and intensive things that you try to do at your station is a news gathering. And producing news and public affairs, particularly when you're dealing with covering the whole world, can be rather expensive if you're poor, even just having to make long-distance calls or having an inability to get to some place to cover something. You don't have the money to travel. You don't have any of those things. So, of course, you know, neither does the corporate media has the money, but they've always had something else, which was wire services. And at the time, he said, well, we need a wire service that doesn't rely on satellite equipment and that doesn't rely on any of that type of expensive stuff, and we can use the internet. And the idea is that we had created a place where people can upload, you know, their programs, the actualities, whatever it is that they have, put it up online, and someone else can take it down. So it's publicly available. And that's what this is. It's a repository, a searchable repository, and people put their programs up and people take them down. And you don't need a password, you don't need to pay anything, you don't need anybody's permission to take anything down or to put anything up. We don't censor anything that's put on there. The only things that the web team will remove are things that are like technically screwed up that aren't working. If we can't fix them, because we don't want people to come up and find links that don't work, or we will remove if we see something that's like obviously like copyrighted corporate music, because there are like kids that try to come up and do that. This is for radio producers to share their programs with one another and their news clips with one another. What's that? Okay. Workshop Rupertson? It's passing. Okay, no, what, there's not much, there's not many different, yeah. No, but he's got, he has a password. They stay up forever. Everything is archived. There's now, the radio project has been going, well, a bunch of people got together online. We all did this online. There were people from actually all over the world that got together in the conversations to do this. We planned this all online, and this was in late 1996. There was no such thing as a piece of software that existed to do this with. So the first time around, somebody modified a piece of commercial software to do it for our very first like time around. And we started and we went kind of open to the public in February 97, I think. And since then, Sean has rewritten a special piece of software for the radio project, and that's what we now use. And it's constantly under development to add new features. Because as it's been used, we found out, this really is a needed feature, or this doesn't work as well as we want. It'd be easier if it was like this, and it's developed that way. And now there are, I think, over 4,000 programs in the archive of the radio project. Well, we have the radio project has a search. It has its own search engine. Yeah, right, yeah. So... Pardon? Yes, you can search by subject, you can search by producer, you can search by even the file name, which that seems like a strange thing, but it can be helpful to you if you know what the file is. Actually, it's most helpful to the web team when we're sometimes looking to try to match up stuff to see what doesn't belong. Are any of those, what a mess. Yeah, actually, we were told, there would be a computer here, we didn't have to worry about anything, but that's obviously not true. So. Okay. Yes, it's an FTP upload. Some people are going to, if you don't understand a term, please say something. FTP. Yeah, FTP is a type of internet protocol, and there's an excellent program called WSFTP, which is free. And that's what we actually use and recommend, because it enables you to, in fact, send several files at once. WSFTP. Yes. See, this rhetoric is supposed to be accompanied by a visual aid, which they're not yet able to provide to me. So I don't want to go too far down this road without it. I don't know, for me, I have to look at things and see them done to learn them, and so I'm just assuming that everyone else is like that if they don't know it. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of words with weird letters like FTP. But the FTP is a basically the transport method that you're going to use a piece of software that's going to send your file from your computer up to the server of the radio project. And back, as you can download through FTP, but you do not need to use your FTP program to download. You can just use a web browser. There's two different types of processes you can engage in with the radio project, which is to put something up on it or to take something down on it. Taking something down is extremely simple. Taking something up is not difficult but more complex. Well, that depends on, but it's not a matter of difficulty, it's just a matter of it taking time. How much time it takes depends on several things. One, how busy is the server? How many people are trying to download at once? And also, of course, what kind of connection you have, what kind of internet connection you yourself have. The radio project was designed, by the way, at a time when most people, the top thing that was available was a 28.8 modem. Okay, so we were, and we didn't, and we expected it to be usable. You know, now of course with higher speeds, it's much, much easier, but if all you had was a 28.8 modem, you could still use this thing, you just have to give everything more time. And, because we, you know, we wanted, the reason this thing was never designed to be, I guess people are very familiar with indie media, probably nowadays, and indie media was designed to be an online news source, multimedia news source for the general public, if you will, where people could come and take their content off the web. The radio project was actually designed to be a tool for radio producers. Now a lot of people do just come to it as to download programs for themselves. But what we figured was that the internet was a very elitist medium and the radio was a very democratic medium. So if we could help the people who were making radio, then they could get it on their radios and put it out to a whole bunch of people who wouldn't require a lot of fancy equipment. So the idea was that we would use the internet to enable us to all do a better job by being able to pool our resources. You know, because if you've done a great, and I know I do a weekly radio show, and I live out in a remote rural area, somewhat like this, actually, about 200 miles from here. And there are things that, you know, it's that there are things that, you know, we will cover that are happening around, but in terms of, for me personally, I'm not doing a program to do local news because that's not my particular interest. I'm a public affairs producer that I want to tie into the big picture. What I want to do for my local community is make people understand the way this system works and what's going on. Okay, so in other words, for me, it's not useful just to be able to record what I'm only physically able to access in my own town. I'm interested in addressing ideas, and because of this, I have the ability to say, okay, we're going to address some aspect of the economy this week, and I have the ability to take, or, you know, something that's happening in, you know, U.S. foreign policy. So I have the ability to take, you know, an interview that somebody did about a Plan Colombia, you know, in Seattle, and a speech that somebody gave about the pending, you know, new war in Iraq down in Washington, D.C., and I have the ability to play those for the people in my community. Okay, even though we are, you know, out in the middle of nowhere and I can't personally afford to go to those places to record these things, I can give it to people. That's why I said it doesn't matter to me who did the interview. Because after all, when you do a news report, you've got a whole bunch of different reporters, and you get on there and say, okay, now the story from so-and-so. Well, that was the kind of philosophy. So that is why this can be very, very helpful to people, because you have a vast array of things at your fingertips beyond what you yourself can go out with your microphone in your spare time to get for your weekly show.
Do your checks have elasticity? Did they cut off your electricity? Did you scream and yell explicitly? What's the boss into complicity?
Does anybody, we can't really go forward into the meat of the workshop until the computer's up and ready and you can actually see what this is, because this is a how-to workshop. But does anybody have any questions at this point? Well, it was needed then. Okay, it was needed at the time that, for me personally, the Pacifica struggle informed the creation of this very much. This was at a time when there were a relatively small group of people, including the people at the Grassroots Radio Coalition, who understood that there was a very serious problem at Pacifica, and it was part of a general context of attack on community radio. I was also involved with the free radio, micro radio movement, and we're talking about, and so were a lot of people that formed this, the whole basically media, democracy movement. We were saying, okay, we need to do, we need to do kick-ass radio with no money, and we need to find a way to help ourselves to do that. So it was already obvious that we had the need for it, but until the internet, there was no sensible alternative to be able to do this easily. I mean, people could mail a cassette to somebody that they recorded, but this way we could just share with people that we hadn't even met yet, Anybody to pick up and use, and it was because it was really, the project could not have happened, maybe it could have happened a year earlier or something, but not much more, because computer sound cards and sound on computers was just happening then, and that was the missing piece that was needed. Once that thing was invented or produced, what have you, made available to the public, that changed everything for us. The internet was the greatest thing to happen to grassroots broadcasters, because it put us on a level playing field, because we didn't need to hoist a satellite into the sky, which poor people can never do. We're ready. Yes, okay. Do you want to put up the front page of the project first, just to show? Okay, if everyone could get up close. You don't have to look at me. I'm going to talk. You can look at the... You're not going to be able to see it anyway? Even on this, there's three monitors. Okay. 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 So you can see that there's a list of Sean will point things. Sean, do you want to, well, you're sitting right there, work the...
Yes, this is a Radio Project website. It's www.radioforall.net. And what you're seeing when you first visit the website, when you go to the front page, you'll see a listing of the latest programs. It's actually the latest 25 programs, I believe. Okay. Okay. All right. You click on a program item and you get the information for that particular program. Which is a series title, which in this case is WBAI, and then the program title, and the program length, which in the length here is if you upload multiple files of your program as several segments, it'll show the cumulative length. What is that? Am I? Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. When you put a file up, you create that information. In other words, what someone comes and sees. The reason why I want you to look is because the more accurate and comprehensive information you fill out, the more someone else coming along will have a better idea of it. So it's up to you. It's your program. If you want to, however fully you want to inform a potential downloader of your program, that's going to be up to you, and we're going to show you how to do that. Yes. Well, how long? But the thing that's uploaded is 30 minutes. Okay, so that thing is 30 minutes long. What you can do in a situation like this, there's a notes section, which you can put, you know, anything you want in there. Okay. Yeah, you have the option to... Yes, you have the option to put notes. So in a situation like that, you could say something like, yes, this thing is the first 25 minutes, last 5 minutes is something else, or anything you might want to tell people that you think is relevant. Your notes section, you might want to say, and for more information on this or that, you know, go here. You might be putting scripts or comments. You can attach scripts if you have a piece that, you know, here's the intro that somebody should read. Because, you know, there was the understanding that it's not just finished programs that people put up here. People put up, you know, raw recordings of, you know, actualities or events. Yeah, too.
Regarding the information, the program information, I just selected a program that has fairly comprehensive information. This is This Way Out, which is a gay and lesbian news program, actually is the radio project is one of the main distribution points for the show. And they, right, I mean, so, I mean, you know, you had a question? The radio project? No, I mean, I will get into that, but it's basically for just about any kind of content. And in this case, this is a news program. But I just wanted to give a description of the various information that you can provide for your program for people who want to use it. You have your series title, which is This Way Out, a subtitle. The show title, which is what's in black, displayed in black, for the particular show, and then a subtitle, summary, and then a list of guests you can have, the type of show, date recorded, location recorded, the producer, the person who uploaded, it would provide their name and email, in both cases, the date it was uploaded on, restrictions, which is another thing we'll talk about in more detail, and then there's the just below that is the notes, which you can put just about anything you want in here, and then there's, you know, the program information for each program file, and they have a mono version and a stereo version, and then there's an announcer script where you can click and you can provide a script for if a radio station wants to use this, you can provide them with some text for them to introduce the show or close out the show. And in the case of This Way Out, although the formatting's a little off, they provide virtually a transcription of their entire program often. You can use that announcer script for various other things too. So.
Gives us, you know, all that information there when they put their program up. You do not have to have an announcer script or fill out a lot of that stuff that's there. This is just something that's very comprehensive. It's up to you. It's there if you want to use it, and you have to decide what information is comprehensive. There are times, one of the things that people were concerned about when we talked about this, and people who do news, you'll understand this, is if you get something some story from some place, and you don't know who the person is, you might feel like, well, before I go to air with this, I want to talk to the person that recorded this to make sure that, you know, that they can, this is really bona fide. So people said, we want the need to be able to kind of, we want accountability. But there are cases where people want to upload things without putting a contact because they don't want to be known for one reason or another. That certainly would happen with material. And you can you don't have to put your email, depending upon the nature of what you're doing and what you expect. The fact is that if you have news and you want people to use it, understanding that a lot of some journalist that doesn't know you might want to talk to you without going, risking putting you on, you know, putting you on the air without knowing who you are, that some people might not do it. So that's the thing I basically want to say. So were you wanting to cut a question?
Comment. As somebody who had, who has a radio station or radio network, whatever, if we didn't have the correct time, like consistently these people give a right time and their material is different, if we don't have the title of the program and a couple of words as to what it's about and who's in it, oftentimes we're like, well, I'll check that, I'll listen to it later and then I'll play it, and the thing will never be played. So just sharing with you all that if you want your material to be played, you need to give at least that much. Accurate time length and subject of what is this program about and who's in it.
Yeah, I mean, for radio stations, the more information you provide for your program, the less time they have to spend actually listening to the material and seeing if it, because in some cases, if you're a regular contributor and they know maybe to a certain degree they want to use your stuff, but if you don't provide enough information, it can hinder, people, using your material because they have to go to the trouble of listening to it. Maybe somebody else has to listen to it, and it just, so if you take the time to provide a fairly good amount of information on your program, the more likely people are going to want to use it on their stations. So. The length. The program, when you put in the length of the file, or like the time length of the file, it makes a calculation of, does several things. It determines, like, it guesses the size of the file, it guesses, it adds up the links, but you have to add the length information for each file. So.
Here's the important thing to remember. The database is not magically linked to the computer in some way that it makes the computer figure out things. The time comes there because it asks you how long is your file when you go through the upload process, which we'll do, and you're going to fill out that information. So if you don't fill out the right information, it's going to be wrong. The computer has no way of saying, oh no, you're wrong, that's not a 30-minute file, that's a 60-minute file, go back. It doesn't have the way to check that. So it's what you put up there, and that's what it's going to reflect, whether that's right or wrong. That's why, this is a fault. I mean, I wish I could do it automatically, but it's not something at this point that, eventually, hopefully it will.
Yeah, there's work that needs to be done on the software. And, I mean, there's been work being done more or less continuously on it. But, yeah, there's room for improvement. So.
I mean, I should add that Sean has written this software just for the radio project and, has continued to work on it and develop it as, whatever new problems or ideas come up as to what would be good. So it's a work in progress to always make it better and more useful. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah?
Who runs it? And, could you just tell me?
Okay. Yeah, at this point, there are three of us that run it: Sean, myself, and a guy who's now in Santa Cruz, California, called David J. David Josephson. Yeah, it's just like yeah.
was the that interview that Gary Null did with Utrice Lead, was that put up on?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Okay, so there's three of us that run it. At this, you know, at this point, and mind you, if there's anybody that has any, you know, systems administration skills that wants to, you know, volunteer to become involved, that would be, you know, always be great. So, in terms of this, it was designed to require not very much ongoing day-to-day maintenance by anybody, because we were very clear about the fact that we didn't want this to become a big organization with a staff and all that kind of stuff. We decided not to become a 501c3. We didn't want to have to, you know, play games with the government at all. That was a decision we made. Media Alliance has umbrellaed us in terms of for people giving us donations so people can have tax write-offs and stuff. We didn't actually do, we did our first general fundraising campaign only about a year ago. We scrounged, donated, you know, server space and equipment and stuff for years. We finally had to upgrade our bandwidth because there was so much traffic that what we had before was not enough. And we're running on a DSL line. The server's on a DSL line. That's all we... And we finally said, okay, we have to commit to this $200 a month. We didn't even have a bank account for, you know, 4 years or something. We just... There was very little money that changed hands about this at all. And then we said, okay, it's getting busier. And in fact, what precipitated the crisis was Democracy Now! Being taken off the air, because the only place until they got set up to download Democracy Now! For a while was here on the radio project. So not only were radio stations coming, but every frustrated listener that couldn't get their Democracy Now! And the server was, it got hammered. It was brought down because we couldn't take that amount of traffic. So we did a fundraising campaign. And we've upgraded our bandwidth, and of course we always need more. It's a catch 22. But where we are now is the next step up requires a $1,500 or $1,000 a month commitment. And quite frankly, we don't feel like comfortable with taking that leap yet. Okay. Yeah. Yes, and we need to redo our main server, which is like it's a Pentium 233. You know, it's quite a few years older, and we're afraid it's, you know, that something is going to fail. It's, you know, it was just a, you know, consumer computer. It's nothing, you know. Yeah. Yes.
Something up on your website, is it possible to take it off after you feel it's no longer relevant?
Like an email me or email, you know, just be email the radio project and request that your file be removed. Cool. So, everything yourself, you can remove your database record of the program and your file that you uploaded. So, but that's not possible at the moment. Well, yeah, it's password protected. So you would log in with your password that you either were assigned automatically when you added the program or created for yourself, which we'll talk about, and then delete or edit or add new material to your program.
Site. Is there a quality difference, or is there a reason to go to the radio project as opposed to posting it as Rich Media on any of the indie media sites?
The main advantage for radio stations and broadcasters is that we cater to, that's the purpose of the radio project, is to serve you know, community radio stations and micro radio stations were not intended for general. I mean, although we do have people listen on the internet, that is not our focus. We're here to provide broadcast quality programming. Whereas on indie media, which is like a really great, you know, service, and we work with them, and we share, you know, we have a link to indie media audio and all that, but it's a mixed bag, you know, in terms of the quality, you know, in particular, like, you know, in terms of if you want broadcast quality material, you can't really guarantee. I mean, and there's not a lot of information often with audio files that are uploaded. It's like very minimal information, so you have to actually download and listen to the file to even find out what bit rate it is, or even how long it is, for that matter. So, I mean, the advantage is, you know, for broadcasters that we cater to, that's what the service is for, broadcasters. Yeah, yeah, and it's audio, yeah, it's audio only, so we only do audio, we're Yeah. Okay, maybe I didn't understand your question. I was wondering if you, I thought you were saying, like, what is the advantage of using radio project over using indie media. Yeah, that's another thing. You don't actually have to upload your file to the radio project. You can provide a link to it, which is another thing we'll demonstrate. You can put it up on indie media, you can put it up on your own personal website, you can put it up anywhere on the internet, and then add a record to the radio project database with a link to your file on the, yeah, so, but, so, here, you want to take this. And
okay, so, I'm gonna explain what Shauna's doing. Right now, what we're looking at is the opening screen of a digital editing program called Cool Edit. Okay, Cool Edit. And there are various digital editing programs. We like this very much. It only works for the PC, so if you have a Mac, unfortunately, you're not able to use this. There are other programs for the Mac.
We're hoping to be able to eventually promote like free software, free audio editing software. But right now, there is one program in particular. Maybe you might want to write this down. It's called Audacity, and it's a free program that's for PC, Mac, and Unix machines. You can do basic audio editing with it right now and save it to various formats, including MP3. But it's still under development. But I would love to be able to promote that in the future. And I recommend it now. I mean, if you don't have any money, it's a good program to do basic editing with at this point. I believe it's audacity.org. Or no, it's Audacity. That's right. It's audacity.sourceforge.net. Yeah, SourceForge. Yeah, and F-O, yeah, G-E, right, and .net. And Audacity is like the, right, spelled like the regular dictionary word, Audacity. Yeah. So,
the free program available for people who do not need multi-tracking is Pro Tools. And that's a pretty good program, so you can download that. I think you just throw it into a search engine.
No, not
isn't that the one I was thinking of? Yeah, it's for PC.
I think there's a PC version.
About Pro Tools. I mean, the Pro Tools has it's basically a demo version. I think. I mean, that you can fully it's partially functional. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, if you... Okay. Okay.
let me just explain that there's two different ways to use. In this particular case, now we do a program that is completely edited and mixed on, you know, in Cool Edit, and we do a pre-recorded 2-hour program. If all you're doing is, say putting your air check from your show up on the radio project or just raw audio, you don't need a multi-tracking digital editing program. All you need is anything that can convert it into an MP3. Because your program already is self-contained, you just need to convert it into a format to go on the internet. And that's what we're showing here. We're not getting into how to do full-on digital editing, because we understand that was taught in other workshops.
We have Cool Edit started, and we're going to create a new file, a waveform file. This is the sample rate. That may do a little explaining, since for some people who didn't, who weren't able to attend the digital audio editing workshops. The sample, this is like when you create a new file, you're going to get this dialog box in Cool Edit and in other programs as well. The sample rate is basically digital audio is composed of little snippets of sound. They're like basically little chunks of sound all strung together instead of like an analog sound, which is continuous and seamless. In digital audio, they string these little chunks of sound together to give the illusion of a seamless sound. The sample rate is basically how big that chunk of sound is. So the larger it is, the better the quality. The lower it is, the lower the quality. And so 44,100 sample rate is CD quality. 48 is DAT quality. Anything above that is just really, you can't perceive it. The human ear can't perceive like the improvement in quality going above that level. And we usually just use CD quality, which is 44,100. For spoken word, typically mono is fine, unless maybe there's maybe some requirement at your station or something where they want everything in stereo. Mono is, and even in that case, you shouldn't even need to do it. Mono and 16-bit resolution, which is a little bit difficult to explain for non-technical people, but basically 16-bit is the standard resolution you want to have. That's how I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, what's that? Okay. I was trying to figure out a way to explain that, and that's a good way to explain it. Yeah. Okay. So 16-bit, it's 44,100 kilohertz. Usually they have for the sample rate, it's the sample's in kilohertz, the channel, mono audio and 16-bit resolution. So we're just going to click OK, and this is what a blank wave file looks like in Cool Edit. And you can think of this wave file as basically similar to a word processor document, only for sound. And you're going to edit it in the similar ways, using like copy and paste, like you would with a in text in a word processor program or word processing file. So we have this new file. We have our audio source, which is a CD. What we're going to do, Cool Edit has a built-in CD player, which is these controls down here. Up here is the controls for Cool Edit, which is the red button is record, as you might guess. This is play, stop, pause. And play to end, play looped, and a few other controls which we may talk about actually we won't, because we're not going to do any editing. So what I'm going to do is just, I'm going to hit record. This is cool edit. I'm just gonna like start recording from, you know, just a blank file, and then I guess we want to continue. I can demonstrate that. So I'll just I'm just gonna hit record, and then I'm just gonna click on the track that I want to record.
Are you one of the 20% of Americans that prefer the small independent radio station?
I have to. I'm sorry. There's one other thing you have to. You may or may not have to do, depending. You're going to have to get really familiar with the Windows volume controls, which you can access quite conveniently from Cool Edit from the Options menu. And you'll see. Or where is it? Where's Windows Mixer? Yeah, down there. I this is like usually where. Oh, this is Cool Edit Pro, so it doesn't have. So I'm not going to. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Alright.
And if you want to plug in a Mavis player to your sound card, you just. What do you need?
The line out. A mini cable, line out of your mini disc, and the line into your sound card. Okay, I'm going to just show you how to access the volume controls of your computer. On a Windows machine, there's like a little speaker icon in your system tray over here. You right-click on that and then select Open Volume Controls. And then there's an Options menu and then a Properties item in the Options menu. And you're going to, like, go to the Adjust Volume for Recording. And you're going to click OK. And basically, you're going to – you have to – the one of the, I guess, nuisances about using Windows machines to record. Well, I guess it's not no different from the Mac for that matter. But you have to select your source, you're only allowed to use one source. So in this case, most likely you would be alternating between in everyday like just audio editing. You would alternate between CD and line in, so we're going to select the CD audio source to record from. Yeah. Yes, you can. But I mean, the thing is, you still have this problem. You can have everything plugged in and set up, but you have to tell the computer if you want to use the line in, or if you want to use the mic, or if you want to use the CD. So you're going to have to tell the computer which recording source you want to use.
Once you do it.
Well, it'll stay there until you want to use line in, or you want to use CD or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
If you have a mixer that you can set up at your studio, then you can plug all your different devices that you might use. CD,
oh, I
Mavis,
see. Yeah, into a single line. Yeah, into the line in.
All you have to do is work with your mixer.
Right.
The problem
right.
is that if you're running from a CD that's built into the computer. Or the line, it's a different input, and you've got to switch something on your computer. But if you can make everything come into your line in, now if you had a CD that was from your home stereo, that would come into your line in, and you wouldn't have to switch. It's because it's accessing the thing that's built into the computer, it's, it has to switch somewhere else.
Okay, so now I'm going to do again what I initially did is I'm going to hit record. And then I'm going to select the track one from the CD.
Are you one of the 20% of Americans that prefer the small independent radio stations? Well, if the big broadcasters get their way, all you'll hear is... Please call your member of Congress.
Well,
tell them to oppose efforts
like
by the large broadcasters who would force conversion to IBOC DAB. IBOC DAB is an abbreviation of in-band on-channel audio broadcasting. And if the big broadcasters succeed in this maneuver, the FCC can force a mandatory conversion. And you will lose access to many, if not most, of your favorite smaller broadcasters. They will be literally jammed off the air. For more information, visit digitaldisaster.org. Or call 804-649-WRFR. Again, that is digitaldisaster.org, 804-649-WRFR.
right. Yeah. So.
Home, it's going to go like clockwork because you're going to know have all your things set up. Your once you get it right, say it's set at this level. My computer set up like this. My gear set up to be plugged up here, and it's going to become routine. Okay, and you won't have to every time. You're not going to have to troubleshoot your whole system like you do. No. What? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's exactly it. Yeah, it is hands on. I know for me, I have to physically touch and do things to learn them, and probably it's that way for a lot of people.
Okay. So. Okay. So do we want to just go with this? Okay. I was gonna say, do you want to re-record this?
Okay. Yeah, because it looks
really simple.
Just if you
don't
record, it's
really
a piece of it. Yeah, if you, why don't you maybe take your, make it so that you see the live update. I find that really disconcerting to not see. You have to open a blank.
Are you one of the 20% of Americans that prefer the small independent radio stations? Well, if the big broadcasters get their way, all you'll hear is... Please call your member of Congress. Tell them to oppose efforts by the large broadcasters that would force conversion to IBOC DAB. IBOC DAB is an abbreviation of in-band on-channel audio broadcasting. And if the big broadcasters succeed in this maneuver, the FCC can force a mandatory conversion. And you'll lose access to many, if not most, of your favorite smaller broadcasters. They will be literally jammed off the air. For more information, visit digitaldisaster.org or call 804-649-WRFR. Again, that is digitaldisaster.org, 804-649-WRFR.
Sure how to okay, so now what's happened is we've taken this file and we've digitized it. It now Yo Reem. Okay.
We have our material recorded, and we're going to just save it as a file. I'm just going to do a quick editing. I can just show you really quickly about as far as audio editing. Cool Edit is very convenient. You can select, portions of the waveform and just like hit the delete key and it'll go away. But that's like about the extent of what I'm going to show you. Sorry, that's yeah. So I'm gonna I was going to save it. I'll save it as a wave and first. And then, I selected Save As from the file menu, and I'm giving it a name. And I would just say so. And this is okay. And now what we're going to do is we're going to save this waveform as an MP3. And you can. Right, exactly. The wave you want when you edit audio, you want to do it as a wave, a raw, which is raw audio. Unfortunately, this version of Cool Edit is an older version, so we don't have the ability to save this as an MP3. So what we're going to do... No, you don't. It's an old... Yeah, it's a newer thing. So there is a an encoder on here, really is... it's great that we have to... No, you knew you had to get. That's right. That's right. That's right. So. So. What we're going to use is SoundForge, which I believe will allow us to. SoundForge. Okay, pretend we're still using Cool Edit, because the current versions of Cool Edit allow you to save directly to MP3. But it's a bit more expensive than Cool Edit. And this like a couple hundred dollars more. There is a limited edition version of it, like SoundForge XP or something like that, and it's like $50 or $50. Actually, if you buy a sound card, you may get that in the box. It's the SoundForge XP, but this is opening a file which obviously somebody was working on. It's going to wait for it to open and then close it, and then we'll... Actually, there's a cancel button here. What am I doing? Okay. And, it would be good to know where I saved that. We're running a little bit.
In terms of the radio project, what we tried to figure out was what was the minimum that was broadcast quality for which it's geared towards spoken word, because that's what this is basically geared. No one's prohibited from putting up things that aren't spoken word, but it was for, you know, news and public affairs work that this was created. So we said, okay, a 48 kilobits per second MP3 file mono is... an adequate quality level for most, a person speaking your, news actuality, a speech, an interview, in that range. The idea was, you're not prohibited from putting up files larger, smaller. That's our recommendation. But as you will see, people will put up some, 128. Now, some people will say, oh no, 128 kbps is the minimum acceptable quality level. It's not a question of them being right or wrong. That's like where they draw the line on minimal acceptable quality. You have to decide that for yourself, Yeah. Yeah. I know we put our program up on 64 mono. The important thing to realize, if your recording was not stereo, there's no reason to. Yeah, calling it stereo is not going to turn your MP3 into a stereo.
All right. So now we've opened the WAV file. We've opened the WAV file, and we're saving the WAV files in MP3. We've selected 64 kbps, which is FM radio quality audio, as it says here, which is it's the best. It's sort of a happy medium in the sense that it's high enough quality to serve on broadcast radio, and the file is much smaller than 128 kbps, which is often what people suggest you use, and because the file is smaller, it takes less time to upload and less time to, you can, in storage and all that stuff, and download, So, all you have to do in modern audio editing programs is just select save at file, save as, and then select MP3 as the file type, and then, choose the quality, which would be 64 kbps mono. So, and then we're just going to hit save, and it just takes a second on this machine. It's just warning you. No. So, okay, now we close that. It's on the desktop here, and I'm just going to play it and cool edit, play it back and cool edit.
Are you one of the 20% of Americans that prefer the small independent radio stations? Well, if the big broadcasters get their way.
Oh, what happened? Or is it? It's only. Oh, it is 1 minute. What happened there? Well, I suppose since we're. Maybe this is a problem of.
Seed in this maneuver.
Oh, I guess.
The FCC can force a mandatory conversion, and you lose access to many, if not most, of your favorite smaller broadcasters. They will be literally jammed off the air. For more information, visit digitaldisaster.org or call 804-649-WRFR. Again, that is digitaldisaster.org, 804-649-WRFR.
Okay. It's Winamp. This is Winamp, which is a MP3 player. You have to download that, yeah. So, or sometimes it'll come with Netscape. If you have Netscape, it'll come with Netscape and other things. So. It's 4. Yeah. So, okay. So we've created.
We created a horrible sounding file.
Yes.
Okay, so that's like.
But that's, you know.
Your file will not sound horrible. Well, usually we expect you to do something.
Huh? It's the quality of the file. It's not. I don't think it's the board. It's the quality of the file. The file is bad.
Are you one of the 20% of Americans that prefer the small independent radio stations?
Yeah, it's. We. Okay.
Well, first of all, in this thing, you can hear.
On your computer, yeah.
different types of meters that tell you where your levels are. If you're used to using whatever you do, where you are.
Okay. Okay. Let's. Yeah. We're going to upload the file that we just created, the MP3 file to. Yeah, I know. I'm getting to that. We recommend that you actually upload the file first before you actually enter any information, so that the file is there when you've completed the program entry.
Could you show us how you upload the program? Let me know if you have MP3.
Yeah. Okay. So, and now we have our MP3 file, and then we're going to create. This is WSFDP. You may have a different program. You may have Fetch if you use a Mac or something else. But basically, to set up an entry for your FTP program, you're going to connect to the host name of, ftp.radioforall.net. That's, radio, the number 4, ALL.net. And you're going to log in anonymously, which in most FTP programs... Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you have a Mac, you're probably going to use Fetch, which is... Or even Netscape, that's true, as also. Actually, maybe the simplest thing to do for this demonstration would be to just do an upload with Netscape. Or actually... Explorer will do it also, which I'm using actually right now. It's more convenient to navigate the file system on your computer with a program like Fetch, and there's also it's just more, it's like it makes doing FTP more convenient. Yeah, better than Netscape or Internet Explorer. It's a program that's specifically for FTP file transfer.